here to talk to us about the NFL draft from draftcountdown.com. He is Scott Wright. Scott, thank you for giving us some of your time. And before we get in to the nuts and the bolts of the NFL draft this year, we have to say, I mean, this show has only been around for a little bit less than 2 months, but I think you're the only person we've ever had on this show that could say that he appeared in one of the Madden video games. Tell us that story.
Yeah, a few years ago, the Madden video franchise, the producers of it contacted me, and during their off-season franchise mode, when you go through the draft process, they wanted to have tidbits from draft analysts, and I was one of the people they chose. So it was definitely an honor to be included in that, and without a doubt, of all the things I've done, I've been on TV, radio, media, print across the country. Of everything I've done, that's the thing my friends are most impressed with, but bar none by far.
I think that's hilarious, but that's really awesome. I mean, you know, Matt and I were talking about this a few minutes ago. That's really kind of a made it moment. There's no question about that.
It really is. Surreal.
Well, let's get into the draft here. I mean, boy, we talked about it a few seconds ago, where the Browns really seem to be in a similar position every single year. And, you know, this time of the year, they just seem to have a little bit of hope. They've got the first overall pick this year, of course. Now, the general consensus is that they should take defensive end Myles Garrett from Texas A&M. However, you do hear some folks around here talk about, well, I don't know, we still really need a quarterback, but I know you believe he is a slam dunk with that first overall pick. Tell us why.
Yep, it's a really easy decision. And just to sum it up really quickly with Myles Garrett, he's an elite talent at a premium position. Not only is he a freak athlete who can play multiple positions, whether it's D end or outside linebacker, 4-3 or 3-4 scheme, but also he's got the intangibles necessary, the toughness, the work ethic to maximize that immense potential. So I think you can make an argument maybe Jadeveon Clowney was a smidge more physically talented, not by a great deal, but just a smidge. But Garrett, I think, grades out higher in the intangibles department. So as badly as the Browns, like you said, need a quarterback, and they absolutely do, it's a no-brainer for the number one overall pick. You're adding a blue-chip cornerstone prospect at a premium position on the defensive side of the ball, and then it comes back to quarterback, because let's face it, Myles Garrett could be Reggie White. Reggie White didn't win a Super Bowl until he found Brett Favre. So Myles Garrett could be everything you hope he'll be, but unless the Browns somehow find a quarterback, somehow, some way, it's really not going to matter. And like you said, that's been the tale for them for basically the last 15 years since they came back to Cleveland.
So then, Scott, do you think that quarterback's in this draft, or do you think they'll look for something else with that number 12 pick?
Boy, and that's a $64,000 question. And I would have thought it would have been in last year's draft, but they, in essence, kind of punted that position. And I know they used a third-round pick on Cody Kessler, which was a reach, and I think he showed that he's maybe an adequate backup, but he's not going to be that long-term solution at the position. So I'll never say never, because this is still a relatively new Browns regime, and we haven't seen what they want to do at that quarterback position. They haven't gone on that limb and made that really big investment yet. And there's a lot of options this year if they want to do it. At number 12 overall, they could trade that pick in a deal for Jimmy Garoppolo, which is, I think, a possibility, although not only do you have to give up that draft capital, but you're going to have to give him a huge contract to go along with it, so there's a risk there. They could use that pick on a quarterback. In my most recent mock draft, I have them taking a local Ohio product who went to college in North Carolina, Mitchell Trubisky. Or they could just stand pat, and there's going to be one of these good signal callers available at the top pick of the second round, number 33 overall, whether it's Sean Kizer from Notre Dame, who personally is my top-rated signal caller in this draft. Deshaun Watson from Clemson could be there. Patrick Mahomes from Texas Tech. Davis Webb from Cal. All of these guys are going to be in that late first, early to mid second round mix. So there's no shortage of options for the Browns. It just comes down to making the right evaluation and making the right decision. And that's been their issue since they reentered the league as an expansion franchise. But eventually here, I would say law of averages says they're going to get it right eventually. But if I were them, I would take best. Obviously, you take Garrett one. At number 12, I would just take the best player available there. I know that's cliche, but there's going to be a lot of good players there. There's kind of a drop-off where you might get as good of a player at 12 as you get at 3 or 4 in this draft. That second tier after Garrett, there's not a lot of consensus there. And then one of those quarterbacks will be there at 33. But Then again, I wouldn't be completely shocked to see them punt on the position again this year, and maybe they got their eye on someone for next year, whether it's Sam Darnold from USC, whether it's Josh Allen from Wyoming, whether it's Josh Rosen from UCLA. There's a few potential top 10 quarterbacks for next year, and Browns have a lot of draft capital for next year as well. So I think that's one of the most intriguing questions of this entire draft process. What are the Browns going to do at quarterback? Although I said that a year ago as well.
Scott Wright of DraftCountdown.com is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's go back to the number 12 pick here for just a second. You alluded to it there for just a moment. Now, on your recent mock draft, which you updated just a couple of days ago, you did have them taking Mitchell Trubisky, who you already talked about, local product. He was a quarterback. He was a Mr. Ohio football player at Mentor a few years ago, then, of course, started at North Carolina last year. But you mentioned that they should go with the best player available. Now, taking a look at the guys that might be available, there are some safeties at that spot that they may have a very difficult time saying no to.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a really top-heavy safety class with some really good players at the top. I think you're going to see Jamal Adams from LSU go in the top five overall. I think he's going to be ticketed for either the Chicago Bears at three or the Tennessee Titans at five. And then Malik Hooker, who some feel is even better than Adams from Ohio State, I think he's going to go somewhere in that top 10. I currently have him going seven to the now Los Angeles Chargers. But even if they're off the board, I think Jabril Peppers from Michigan would be a real intriguing option. And he's kind of a polarizing prospect because of the role he was utilized in this past year at Michigan. He's a safety, but he was used as a linebacker. So it's going to take a little bit more of imagination, or you're going to have to go back to some older film to kind of get a feel for him as a prospect. But just a truly elite, versatile talent, and he's going to be an outstanding return man, and also has that X factor. He's a leader of men on the defensive side of the ball, the type of player that other players gravitate to on and off the field. So if I'm the Cleveland Browns, number 12, some might say that's a little bit of a reach for Peppers, but he's the type of player I want on my organization when I'm trying to build a winning culture. And if they wanted to go for safety, I would have no problems with them going Peppers there at number 12, not only for what he brings on the field, but what he'd bring off the field.
Scott, are there any sleepers in this draft that people aren't bringing up their names that maybe they should be?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you start with small school kids, and I think we're going to see a couple of non-Division One prospects go in the top three rounds. Cooper Kupp from Eastern Washington, the wide receiver, just extraordinarily productive. And then one player that people don't talk about, he came out early as an underclassman, Adam Shaheen out of Ashland, former basketball player who's really reshaped his body the past few years. You watch his film, you might get shades of Rob Gronkowski, a poor man's Rob Gronkowski. He has that kind of a frame and style, the way he drags defenders on runs. So those are the small school players, just in terms of players who aren't maybe getting a lot of notice. Brandon Wilson, cornerback from Houston, I think is being underrated. Really good athlete. He saw action on both sides of the ball and special teams in college. Wasn't invited to the scouting combine. I thought he should be. James Onwuolu from Notre Dame, converted safety, now at linebacker. He brings that athleticism you look for at the position these days. You need those linebackers who can match up with the running backs, tight ends, slot receivers, because offenses are trying to get mismatches. And I think Onwuolu is the type of player you look for. And if worst case, I think he's going to have a long career as a backup and special teamer. And then one other I'll mention, Ryan Switzer from North Carolina, one of those Patriots type of receivers. He's not real big. He's only about 5'8", but a really shifty athlete. Very tough to handle in the open field. And I think all of those three of those guys that I mentioned are going to be interesting targets on day three of the draft.
We're talking with Scott Wright of DraftCountdown.com. That's DraftCountdown.com. You can check out Scott on Twitter as well, at DraftCountdown. Want to ask you one more question here, Scott, before we cut you loose. Boy, you know, we're an Ohio State football affiliate, and of course, I mean, there are a lot of great Buckeyes to be had in this draft. As a matter of fact, in the most recent mock draft you put up, you had three of them going in the top 11. How many would you say could go in the first round this year?
Yeah, I don't have I haven't done an exact count, but I had, I think, three in the first round and then a bunch more on the second day. But the name to keep an eye on from the Buckeyes' perspective is Garion Conley, the cornerback. And I felt he's underrated from the get-go. I go back to last year's secondary. And just put in perspective what an incredibly talented secondary Ohio State had a couple of years ago when they had Eli Apple was a top 10 overall pick. Von Bell was a second round pick. Tyvis Powell is now in the NFL, and the other guy starting with them was Garen Conley. It wasn't Malik Hooker, who's probably going to be a top 10 pick in this draft. It wasn't Marshawn Lattimore, who's probably going to be a top 10 pick in this draft. It was Conley. So don't be surprised if Conley goes in the top half of the first round. I am going to the Saints at number 11, and I wouldn't even be shocked if there's scenarios where he could even go a little earlier than Lattimore. But both of them, I think, are going to be gone in the top 12 to 15 overall picks. So just an extraordinarily talented Buckeye secondary, and they truly don't rebuild. They just reload back there, and I don't know how they're going to replace all these guys, but we said that a year ago, and they have a few more first rounders.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun over the next few weeks here leading up to the draft. Again, the NFL draft is 3 weeks from today, and Scott, you know as well as anybody, a lot of things can change over the course of the next few weeks. A lot of posturing, and there are a lot of different things that go on over the next few weeks as teams try and increase their draft stock. Scott, we know you're a busy man, so we certainly appreciate you giving us some of your time here today, and we hope to get you on a couple more times before the draft begins.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All righty. Again, that's Scott Wright from DraftCountdown.com. That's DraftCountdown.com. Check out Scott on Twitter as well. You can follow him there at DraftCountdown.com.